Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular show. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive influence in the world. Now, Answers for the Family will continue to address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and creating greater health and happiness for you and your family. Now, we also introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, happiness, security, and creating joy for you and your family. Now, before we get to our guest a little bit, I'm going to talk a little bit about the holiday that we have today. And that is that this is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and it celebrates the life of a man who brought healing to America. His revolutionary spirit, which was taught through example, demonstrated that change can happen when we choose to live in the values of courage, truth, justice, compassion, unconditional love, forgiveness, and nonviolence. Now, our guest today, singer-songwriter Mike Magic Boyd, is another visionary who, like Dr. King, knew that it wasn't enough to just talk the talk. He had to walk the walk for his words to be credible. Now, Mike's message music has been changing the lives of adults and children that it reaches with its positive, uplifting messages. Mike is a motivating, inspirational reacher who wrote his signature song, I Stand For You, to bring his message to universal humanity to everyone. Now, some people call it the universal anthem. Now, his number one hit song, American Soldier, Thank You for all the things you do, and the song, We Love Our Soldiers, Red, White, and Blue, to honor our servicemen and women and veterans who played important roles around the world. Now, with all the unrest presently plaguing our society that includes wars, guns, racism, greed, and so on, Mike brings us a new song that has answers. That song is Stop the War. Now, we welcome Mike to Answers for the Family to discuss how Dr. King inspired his life and how, in the current environment, it is a more crucial time than ever to spread the message of peace. Now, on January 25th, there are planned global anti-war protests and marches, and this song will become the symbol of this great anti-war movement by simply stating, Stop the War. Now, if you want to know more about that, you can go to www.answercoalition.org. Now, if you're driving, don't try to write that down. Go to our website. Go to the answersforthefamily.com website. We will have that information on there so that you can go on and learn how you can get involved. With that said, Mike, I just want to tell you I really appreciate you being here and taking the time. I have told many people you are one of the people that I look up to because you have been making a positive difference for a very long time.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much. I don't know how to respond to that. but I am honored to be on your show, Alan. I've been wanting to be on it for a while. You know, like yourself, so many things keep us going, you know, in different directions that sometimes you just have to make the time to do something.
Yes.
And I'm honored to be here, my friend.
All right. Well, let's, before we talk about the songs and some of the things that you're doing, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about how Dr. Martin Luther King influenced you to become the incredible man that you are today.
You know, I have go back a long ways to talk about this, because I was one of the children down in the South in Mississippi at the time. And the atmosphere was so horrible. I mean, I can't think of the word that would make it really, it was like turmoil, mm-hmm. you know, and racism was like an albatross on all the blacks down there's names and on their lives. But when I first heard Dr. King speak, I felt like a gift had been sent to me. And what that actually means is that when we would walk the streets of Mississippi and where I lived and things like that, your life was in danger. People literally hated you because of the color of your skin and actually thought that you were an animal. You know, we had baseball, we had schools, we had all these things down there just like everybody else. But the education of fair play was in none of it. And so you had the black side of town and you had the white side of town. And any time that we would step on the white side of town, it had to be for a particular reason to see somebody white, or you were about going to get attacked. And so when I heard Dr. King, I knew then that the feelings that I had inside of me about this shouldn't be happening and asking the questions of why is it happening and these things started to come to to fruition. Mm-hmm. And I started to see that the anger that was in my heart because of what people were doing was not my anger. It was anger that was being placed there to design me to grow up to be a person that would hate too, a person that would hit people in the head, a person that would deny people their rights. This is what you're teaching your children when you teach them these things of, I don't like this person. I don't like that color. I don't like that religion. I looked at it when I started to see it as, wait a minute, God put us all here the way he wanted us to be. If he thought enough of us all to put us here, why is man not thinking that way?
Right.
Why is he taking away what he himself wants so much for himself and his, but would so quickly take it away from someone else? And so I started to look and I started to see when Dr. King spoke that we were not living democracy. We were living hypocrisy, that we had taken democracy and turned it into our own way of dealing with each other and separating the right of democracy into putting it into the wrong of hypocrisy, and that now none of us could function. I looked at things in slavery time where the white slave owners would keep black people on the plantation and they'd do all these things. But I looked at it and I started laughing one day, because in the process of you trying to hold me down, you were holding yourself back. You couldn't go anyplace. You couldn't do anything. All you could do is stay and watch the plantation of what your little life was. And so I would look and I'm going, I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. My brothers, my sisters, my friends, we're more than this. And so I started to speak up and I started to say, I'm not going to take this. You can call me what you want. The problem would be if I accepted what you called me.
Right.
And so I wouldn't accept being called, I'm not going to say it over the airwaves, sure, the N-word and these things. And I wasn't accepting any more of just putting it straight. We would go down at night and play basketball on the court, and we'd be down there to 10, 12 at night. We were only 8, 9 years old. But we would also look up, and here comes the Ku Klux Klan to kill us. So we could see them in the pickup trucks coming around to attack us and to hurt us. Many nights, and I'm talking about in the hundreds, really, over my time period of being a kid, we ran home from people that had machetes in their hands and that were coming to do us harm as children. I lived in the time period of Cheney, Goodman, and Swanner, the three civil rights workers that were killed in Mississippi. A lot of it you guys would know from the movie Three Lives from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And a more recent thing that if you want to see how I actually experienced life was Mississippi Burning.
Yep.
And so I ask the question right now, when are we as a race, meaning the human race, going to start to look and see that Dr. King was not talking about black people? He was talking about the universal people of how we are all going to live, and that if we followed his message of nonviolence, of caring. And the biggest message of all, Alan, that came out of all that was fair play. Mm-hmm. And this is what this country has not allowed to any of its people. Remember, the taking away of rights mean that you are taking away your own. So if you take somebody and discriminate against them, what is it that you expect back from them? So you can't beat on people, cheat people, lie people, not give people opportunities and everything, and then ask that person what's wrong with them. And so we have to stop, and this is what Dr. King taught me, that we got to stop and put love first. We keep putting our anger and our frustration and our irritation and all these petty things, we put them first. I learned coming up, but we can't do that. Life is not based on selfishness. It's based on universality. And until we all decide to do better by each other, which is the message I took by him, you can't expect better for yourself. If you want your children, when they walk the streets, not to be attacked by other races, then question what you have been doing for or to the other races. And I'm saying this to the people on the other side, too, that it's not your right to harm somebody because you feel bad, because you don't like them. That's a feeling. That is not a physicality. And so when I would hear Dr. King speak, I was a new human being, not because he was speaking against those white people, but maybe his speech would allow me to get to know the people who hated me so much that I myself could use my personality, my spirit, my caring, my sense of fair play to make them feel better. And by making them feel better, maybe they would see me and see my race in a different light. And so Dr. King became not only a hero to me, but to everyone down there. And so I'm asking the country, from what I've learned from Dr. King and from all the messengers, the Malcolm X's and the John Kennedys and all these people. I remember imitating John Kennedy every day. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I always tried to imitate him. I mean, he was my hero. Uh-huh. And it had nothing to do with color. It had something to do with I saw a man who was talking about fair play that I knew of. And I'm not telling everybody out there that I'm exactly right, but what I'm telling you is that I have a right. And that right is to be listened to as a human being, to be treated as a human being. And that if all of us out there want this world to change, then we must change ourselves. We must change our minds. We don't have to shoot a bullet. We don't have to beat up somebody. All we got to do is show them a heart that they themselves would recognize in the way of caring and of kindness, of grace, of style, of form, of perfect application to life. If we were to look at other people's faces and see ourselves in them, would we be so quick to punch that face? And so all of us have got to stand up as Americans. If we want it to change, we've got to change. If we want a better country, then stop picking on each other. Stop cheating each other. Stop lying each other. Stop driving up and down these streets 100 miles an hour, not caring about the other people's lives and their family's lives and how much we wreck it. If we want to stop bad feelings, listen to me good, Alan, then stop doing bad dealings. And that's as simple as I can put it.
Yeah, and you know what? And this is exactly why you're here, because this is so perfect for this show. I mean, you are sending the message that we are trying to send, and I just am so grateful that you're here and you so eloquently put that. Now, with all of that said, of your songs, what song would you like to share with everybody right now? And let's share one of the songs, because this gentleman not only articulately speaks, but he sings too. So let's put one of the songs out there.
I think because the war is here, and well, not the war, but the potential of it. We do have skirmishes all over the planet and right. thing, but this is about stopping the war, not only of us against Korea and Iran and all this, but the war that we have against each other as human beings, stopping all of it so that we can see a clearer day. So I think we should start with the song, Stop the War.
Okay, here it is. So everybody out there, Stop the War.
Those who make peace impossible make war.
I do not wish to kill my fellow man, for if I kill my fellow man, with whom shall I live?
The shot I fired in anger at the enemy has killed me also, for he was was my fellow man.
What if they had a war nobody had?
No need, no more war. We don't need no more war. We don't need no more war.
Everybody, can't you see that war is the worst thing that there could ever be? People are dying everywhere, and the worst thing about it, some people don't really care. Come on, come on, stop it right now. We gotta stop it somehow. The world is in despair. People are fighting all over the world, teaching nothing but hatred to every boy and every girl. How can this world go on any further when we don't give love to our sisters and our brothers? The world is too small for us to live this way. If we keep messing up, we won't have a place to stay. You better think twice before you do the things you do, 'cause whatever you do, it's gonna come right back to you. Come on, call it out to every man. It's time to take a stand. Don't wait, don't hesitate.
No winners when men are killing each other.
People out on the streets, passerby won't even speak. Driving their cars so fast, won't even stop to let you pass. What do the people say when at night they have to pray? When will they realize that war is ruining all our lives? I see the mothers cry when sons and daughters say goodbye. I hear the children scream when they wake up from their dreams. Sweethearts and wives shed tears as they try to hide their fears. Young people born to war don't know what they're fighting for. Soldiers around the world trying to help out everywhere. Did you ever think maybe they don't want us there? Maybe we should change our pledge, leave the other folks alone. Stop trying to save the world and bring our soldiers home. Everybody, won't you listen? We don't need no more war.
Now, for those of you that are just tuning in and going, wait a minute, I didn't know I was listening to a music station. I thought I was listening to Answers for the Family. Well, you are listening to Answers for the Family. We are talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. I have with us Mike Magic Boyd, and that was his song, Stop the War. And we are talking about the things that Dr. Martin Luther King brought, the influence that he has been, and especially to Mike, who was there at that time, and it affected his life. And rather than become negative and become angry, he heard the message of Dr. Martin Luther King and said, I'm going to spread love. I'm going to kill him with kindness. You know, so... So, but there's a lot of things that people don't even really know about you, and I know that I do. I mean, besides being a writer, besides being a songwriter, a singer, you also played baseball. So
I played a little baseball.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about baseball and how that started you in life, but also how that got you kind of in a position to where. To where people could listen, because all of a sudden you were now kind of in a spotlight. Mm-hmm. So share how that came about. And
in a universal concept of it, you know, like anybody, you start as a kid. But see, I have a very, very rich childhood when it comes to sports, especially baseball. My dad owned the last of the Negro League teams in Mississippi. I actually got to play a little bit in the barnstorming ends of the Negro Leagues. And before he died, about a year and a half, 2 years, Satchel Paige mentored my brothers and I for a while. So we came up on them, but people don't know. I wish we had cameras for that time period. But Satchel Paige actually was in awe of my uncles that played in the Negro Leagues. And so... he would come, and it was like buddies talking rather than, that's Satchel Paige. Where he would come in and go, hey, that's Mike Boyd, who was my uncle at the time, mm-hmm. and or that's Jake, or this type of thing. And so I got to see them as people. And we used to walk around on his legs and other Negro League players. We used to be real little kids, and so you know, I used to walk on your daddy's leg, yep. Hug his leg, mm-hmm. and he'd walk with you. And so we experienced those things so much. But... They saw in us and my brothers and I, and my uncles, and it all came down through history, our love for the game of baseball. And the game of baseball has really taught me so many things that it was incredible, but it actually taught me how fair play actually worked. And so when I saw that we weren't supposed to cheat to win, which is what we're having a problem right now with the Houston Astros, mm-hmm. and Boston and these things, you can't work and put in all this work that you've put in to become the best you can be and then settle for winning at any cost. Your job is to earn winning, because earn winning earns you respect, caring, and kindness. Adulation from the fans of not you hit a home run, but I want to be like that person. And you can name the ball players now that have come through the major leagues or anything else. You can name the ones that played in character and integrity. And so from the Iron Man to Derek Jeter to, I forget, the Mario Rivera, the pitcher.
Yeah, Mariano.
These guys lived on character. This is what the kids, I want to be like him. See, we don't need steroids to be our best. We need character to be our best. We need intelligence, respect for ourselves. We have an image that we want to build, not for people, but an image you want to build of yourself. That when you look in the mirror, I like that person. I'm glad I'm that person. And when you question what that person is, that person has to answer the question, not what I've done for myself, but what have I done for others that would make them look at myself the way I want to be looked at. So when I started to grow up with baseball, my brothers and I were so baseball crazy that we would literally, now this is 6, 7, and 8 years old, that we would be at the ballpark 10 and 15 hours a day, that we would play baseball. And the baseball was not the leagues and everything. That was summer. That was automatic. We played year-round. We made snow baseballs. That we would literally take our mother food coloring and put the stripes on them and everything. And when you hit it, the snow would just burst all in your face. But how hard you hit it dictated whether it was a home run or the way that it went, whether it was a ground ball. And then we would literally play in 2 and 3 feet of snow. And it was nothing to hit you with a snowball. So after that, well, it was a fight. So we have a snowball fight. But I myself was drafted number 2 to the Dodgers, and before I get to that, in high school, I was the number 1 high school pitcher in the South for 2 years. Me and David Clyde, who went on to pitch for the Mets, mm-hmm. who struck out of high school the first six Dodgers he faced, right? And so these were my competitions down there. But I went on to compile a 16-2 record. What did I do? I threw two no-hitters in 16 games and six shutouts in 16 games. I got lucky enough that in that time period, in 16 games, I struck out 222 batters. We went on to win two state championships. I was a state championship pitcher each year, but pitching wasn't my best thing. I was a hitter. And so instead of going on to the pros, which I was supposed to be drafted out of high school, another story, but I went on to play college, and I was drafted number two to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I also went on to be drafted number seven when I didn't sign with the Oakland A's. And so my brothers, Don, went on with the St. Louis Cardinals. My baby brother, everybody knows my baby brother. His name is Oil Can. Oil Can Boy, you know, and that's my baby brother. And I was actually one of my students. Now that I'm a teacher, I've probably taught 20,000 kids and 20,000 students. I've had them go to the pros. You guys don't know, but the movie A League of Our Own, I'm the person that brought back women's professional baseball. After 50-something years in 1990, I decided it's time for women to play ball, and there's no more time for this discrimination stuff because she's a girl. She can't do this. She can't do that. Well, I hate to admit it, but a girl used to beat me up all the time growing up. Her name was Joanne, and for some reason, she just didn't like me, and she'd just come out and punch you dead in the nose.
Well, and you know what I was going to say? I believe one of those teams was the Silver Bullets, wasn't it?
Well, that's where they came from. Yeah. That's where the Silver Bullets, a lot of my girls went on to the Silver Bullets.
Right.
Now, the Silver Bullets sort of messed everything up. I love the idea, mm-hmm. and I love the concept, but they did it wrong. And what I mean by wrong is, in a world that has opportunity for so many, they cut it off and tried to make it for a few. Yeah. Well, you can't stop people from getting upset when you take away opportunity, because all we want for ourselves is opportunity. What we want for our children are opportunities that will work.
Well, now, speaking of opportunity, uh-huh. okay, share a little bit about base all, because base all, as you've explained it to me, uh-huh. really takes that opportunity and now provides it for everybody. No matter where you are in life,
exactly.
there's a place for you on it. So share a little bit about it, and then we're going to go to a break, but share a little bit about it.
Base all is a philosophy that I put together. It's base all. Baseball, as I grew older, I started to see that baseball was not what it said it was. And it's being proven by the pros right now. We'll win at any cost. If we have to cheat, if we have to use cameras, if we have whatever we do to make other people see us as what we want to be, rather than use your character and integrity and pride and get up there. I would respect you better if you lost a game with great effort than if you won it by cheating. And this mm-hmm. is selling out our country. It's selling out our manhood. It's selling out our ability to have our wives and our children look up to us as men of integrity instead of men who will do anything just to eat. People got to understand, nobody's going to let you starve. So why are you so desperate to say, I just got to survive? We're all here. And if we were to act right, we would all take care of each other and make this planet where nobody sleeps on the street. Nobody is hungry. No child. But as long as we say, my golf game is important, I got to go see the Rams. That's important. I got to spend thousands of dollars to do this. But I don't care if that little baby down there in East LA who will grow up poor, and I don't care if he eats, but I will care if he robs me. So we got to do prevention rather than after the fact. And this is what we're doing. We're not doing right in the beginning, but we're blaming people for the way they come back at us. That makes us a hypocrite, and that would make you a hypocrite.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love. And so in regards to...
But let me give you an explanation, okay.
But so what I saw when you explained to me one time about base all, mm-hmm. what I got from that was that you are using that as a metaphor, because you're making this all inclusive, but you're speaking about the fact that this is what we need to be doing as human beings.
As human beings. Well, that's what base all yeah. is. See, base all is calling on all of our characters. Base all is this. Base all is the teaching, sharing, and caring of knowledge placed properly. And I didn't say knowledge. I didn't say learn. I said proper knowledge. See, our kids have got so much knowledge on how to do bad things and how to make a gun on the internet and how to kill people and how to make all these negative things that they're getting off the internet. Remember, the kids didn't do this. It's the adults who are coming before them that are putting these negative opportunities and thinking in their minds. Mm-hmm. So we can't just teach our children any and everything we want them to know. We have to teach them the better things so that they can strive for a better life and teach and treating people better. Baseball is based on 30 philosophies, and I'm going to give you a couple of them because they're coming out in my book, Baseball. Okay? The first philosophy of baseball for the whole country to know, for the world to know, is if it don't start right, it don't end right. Okay? It's that simple. And so nothing you've done that has gone wrong needs to be continued. Baseball says stop and start over. Only then can right be accomplished. Once it's wrong, it is wrong. And so when we teach our kids, baseball says teach them all they need to know. Don't waste their times on these ball field coaches talking about, oh, they had a great little practice today. Oh, he's so cute. And one day, possibly, if maybe could be, he can get someplace. Well, our job is not to teach a child hopes, but to make his hopes come true. To make his dreams come true, to make them want to grow up and help somebody else, to teach them how to walk properly, talk properly, do these things. Teach them how to talk to people. Ma'am, how you doing today, ma'am? Can I help you across the street? Can I, all these things that have left, can I rake your yard? All these things my brothers and I did as kids. And we wouldn't let people pay us because the payment of helping them was the key. Ask your child how they feel about other people and helping them. And if you don't know, let me tell you what the word help means. H-E-L-P, everybody. Healing every living person. It did not say an individual. Take the word hope. H-O-P-E. It means helping out people everywhere. It didn't say nothing about helping you out. It said help them out. And so if we can adopt these philosophies, and there are 30 of them, the biggest one for our society right now that needs to be dealt with, because you can't get nobody to tell you the truth. You can't. You don't know who you can trust or anything else. And until we recognize this, we're not going to change. We can talk about change all day, but it ain't going to happen. The number 7th philosophy of baseball says, if your word is no good, you are no good. Period. You want to lie out there? You want to cheat to your family? You want to cheat in business? You want to cheat up and down the street? Go ahead. But that means you are no good. And so you have to stop. And that means me, you, and everybody else have to recognize that our word is who we are. Our word is how we should live. And if you don't live as a decent human being, you will not be able to treat another person as a decent human being. So baseball is dealing with the rights and wrongs and says, teach your kids all the skills they need to know before they ever attempt to play a ball game. We put our kids on the field. They don't know nothing. They're scared. Some of them don't want to even be there, but their parents want them there. And so they're being forced to live an adult's life of thinking rather than us recognize that the child needs to be taught the way it needs to be taught, not the way we want to teach it. So baseball says, teach him how to move his foot, his arm, his eyes. Teach him the philosophy of fair play. All these things before he ever gets on a field. Teach him his skills. Now that his practice has been perfect, and for those who don't know what practice is, let me tell you, practice is a waste of time, period. What gets us to where we want to go is to practice perfectly. Perfect practice. And every coach I had said that to me, but it was just words. Practice perfect, Mike. Practice this. And everything I had to do was on my own. Then when I came back, they'll take your credit. Well, let me tell you what perfect practice is. Perfect practice for your kids, for you as adults. Perfect practice is perfect listening. That when somebody talks to me, I'm going to get the information from that person perfectly so I'll know which way to go. Perfect listening. Perfect watching, perfect listening, perfect imitation of what I see done right. Done right. Perfect listening, everybody. Perfect watching. perfect imitation of what I see done right. So it tells your child when you go to that classroom, don't make it stressful on that teacher. Don't go in there showing your attitude that, hey, I'm spoiled and my parents can pay for this and my parents can do that. All that's going to do is make you disliked and people not want to stand up for you. Basal says go into that room and make that teacher feel like their job is the best job that ever happened. And make them know that you're glad to be in their class. And you tell your classmates, don't talk to me during class. Don't distract me during class. I came to learn. And any child that's doing that to another child is taking away their right to learn. So it ain't on the teacher that our children learn. It's on our children that they come to learn. And so a teacher, so everybody will know the word teacher, T-E-H-C-H-E-R, teach each and all children his or her earthly right. And that is their earthly right to be taught the way that they need to be taught. So no more of these excuses, adults. If you wanted things to change, you start changing today. Start teaching your children different. Start teaching your treating your friends different. And start caring about this society to where you get off of your sacroiliac, your derriere, your posterior, your butt, all this. Get off of it. Get out here. Get in these streets on these marches. Get in these streets. If you don't have a march to go to, march by yourself. The key is to march against what is wrong and what is keeping us apart, which is tearing us apart. And we can never be Americans until we start to do that. Until then, we are Americans.
Well, and march for what is right.
That's right.
All right.
Right.
Now, we're going to take a break. Now, for those of you just tuning in, our guest is Mike Magic Boyd, and we are celebrating the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585 or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here you have a lot of fun.
All right, that's Twisting the Night Away. It's a Sam Cooke classic. So, Mike, I know that's you singing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, like Dr. King, I was influenced by a lot of people. One of those people was Sam Cooke. When I first heard Sam Cooke sing, that I was old enough to recognize who it was. I was playing ball in college, and I was driving down the street, and his song came on, Wonderful World.
Mm-hmm.
And it stopped me in my tracks, because I heard the gospel, but I didn't hear the rhythm and blues. And I heard it, and I knew on that moment, I knew that I would be singing Sam Cooke's music. And so for people out there who don't know, I do a tribute to Sam Cooke that I've been doing for about, not to do my age, but about the last 30 years.
And this is in Vegas?
All around the country.
All over the country. But I know it has also been in Vegas.
Yeah, right? I was in Legends in Concert in Laughlin, Nevada. I was in Rock and Roll Country Soul where I did Sam Cooke. I've produced maybe 100 concerts of, maybe even more, of doing a tribute to Sam Cooke. We just did it for the veterans. Veterans love Sam Cooke.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how much because I've supported the veterans for the last 20 years. and sponsored stand downs for them and made sure that people who had PTSD could get to doctors and things like that. So I've been singing the tribute to Sam Cooke to the vets, and I mean, Cupid and all these songs are just wonderful. And we think, we forget that our soldiers and our veterans are human beings. We forget they're just people from our neighborhoods just like us, and they like to shake their booty. And so it ain't just about shooting a gun. We can't look at them like that. They are the protectors of our country, and this is why they deserve our respect. And so I chose the music of Sam Cooke to sing to him because there is a spirituality, even in the rhythm and blues, that connects us all like we can't believe. If I went to Hawaii, sang Sam Cooke, well, it was just there for vacation. I said, I'm going to get up here and do some karaoke. We were having fun. And I get on the stage, and I start to sing one of his songs. I must sing five of them. And I just put the mic down. The people were singing themselves. I didn't know all these people from so far away that knew Sam. I saw Japanese. I saw Chinese. I saw Indians. I saw everybody singing Sam Cooke. And so in a week's time, I got so popular, they're doing Sam Cooke. There was no money to be made, but the karaoke's opened up. And so we didn't have enough time to I put on the show, but I'm going to be going back soon, hopefully. But Sam Cooke, when I heard it, it touched my spirit. And I don't have to tell you the song, A Change Is Gonna Come. Mm-hmm. When I heard that, I nearly quit baseball. Baseball is a family thing, can't do it. But it told me, since I can't separate from ball because God made me ball, then I'm going to have to add the music to the ball. And so when I do concerts in certain places, I will put on a baseball game prior to the concert that people can get out, have a good time mm-hmm. with the ball, and then that night we all celebrate. You know, there's nothing left more than baseball, but people are going to love baseball much better than baseball. And I'm hoping to get, I'd love to get you some parents on here and some mm-hmm. kids and talk about baseball, that they are going through this and have gone through this, and see kids that at the ages of 7 and 8 will teach any adult how to play baseball, because it ain't about.
Well, and how to do it. Ethically.
Yeah, how to do it ethically. Yeah, no more. And you know, speaking to everybody out there, look, we're going to have to watch what we say to these kids and in front of these kids. And we're going to have to watch our dealings as adults in front of these kids. Our kids are growing up so fast that they don't want to listen to an adult because they feel they already know. Well, if we're going to teach them as adults, then we got to expect them to come back to us as adults themselves mm-hmm. because children don't know the difference. That's why you see, nothing bothers me more that there's a commercial on TV where the guy's doing furniture. And he's got little tiny kids in front of him. They couldn't be no more than 5 years old. And they call him by his first name. There's no mister. There's no sir, how you doing? And the character integrity, pride, grace, style, form, and application you and I were brought up with. This is, our kids don't see you as an adult. They just see you as a person. So if you don't separate the higher echelon, meaning the adult, from the babies, and they're talking on the same level, where's the child? So we got to change what we're teaching. We got to go back and tell our children, no, you say yes, sir, to that man. You say yes, ma'am. So he knows you're a child, and you know he's an adult. And so we have a way to talk to each other and to deal with each other. If we take away that, then this is why we're having all these problems out here with adults and children. So we've got to separate this into, you're a child, I'm an adult, this is how we deal with each other, period.
Well, and that takes us right into one of your songs, which is, what are we doing to our kids?
What are we doing to all these beautiful children?
That's right.
And remember, the war and all this ties in, the stop the war, because who's going to fight the war but our children?
That's right.
So then we got to look at the fact that maybe we're the ones sending our children off to war to kill, not just they're going to war. See, we got to stop our bad feelings. Listen to me good. And the only way we can stop our bad feelings is stop doing bad dealings. And so our kids, bad dealings cause bad feelings.
Okay, let's play a little bit of the song. Let's
play it.
And so we're going to play a little bit of the song, and then when we come out of it, talk a little bit more about what you were thinking when you wrote this song.
You got it.
are we doing to all these beautiful children? What are we doing? Do you really care? What are we doing to all these beautiful children? What are we doing? Do you really care? Man, it just ain't fair. Our children are getting shot down in the streets. They can't trust anyone that they They go to a party, all that's there is drugs and guns. How in the world do they expect to have fun?
What All right, well, there's a little bit of it right there. Share a little bit about your thought process when you decided this is information that we need to get out to the people.
Well, I think like a lot of people, Al, people of character, integrity, pride are getting fed up with the same old crap, okay? And so our children are following adults and the negativities that the adults are doing. We blame our kids for drinking, but the kids didn't put it out there. We blame them for guns, but the kids didn't put them out there. So according to it, the adults are causing the negative problems. And we have to get back into being proper adults before we can ask a child to be proper. And so I wrote this song so that people would listen. I love the music that's out there today, the Beyoncés and the Timberlakes and all the new groups that are coming out of nowhere, are coming out of everywhere. But right now, our country is in a situation where it ain't about shaking your booty. And this is about fixing the problems in our society. Because, Alan, if we don't and we keep going the way that we're going, we're not going to have a booty to shake. Somebody is going to blow it off. And so we got to stop and see that the negativities that we are seeing are possibly starting with our own personal self. And until we fix ourselves in the way that we think, we ain't changing nothing. And so I'm tired of the children, and I've gotten fed up with the children being blamed for the negative things they're doing when we have a society and laws that allow it to happen. So again, we get back to the hypocrisy of democracy. And if we keep lying like we're doing about how much we love our children and how much we want to do for our children and we want to do this, I have to say the country's a liar. Because if you ain't going to take the guns out their hands and if you ain't going to do the job that it takes to get the drugs off the streets that they get a hold to, you are a liar and you are a phony. We got a job to do. Stand up. Start to complain about this as a nation and parents. Start to complain that we don't want this and we are adamant in getting it stopped and go to our politicians and everybody else and say, hey, look, you ain't getting a vote. You ain't getting nothing until you start to do what we are asking and demanding of you.
Okay. And I love the fact that you brought the politicians up and the politicians, the talking heads, the social media.
Right.
I'm going to tell a story about a judge that I thoroughly respect.
Right.
And so as an investigator, I used to do child custody cases. And there was a particular case in which I was hired to dig up dirt on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side hired, you know, they had a detective on that side that dug up dirt on this side.
Right.
Well, there was so much dirt. And they just kept slinging mud and slinging mud and slinging mud. And which I'll tie it into what's going on now, mm-hmm. is the judge finally ruled. He said, I'm taking the kids away from both of you. Not so much because of the how much of that mud sticks, mm-hmm. about what you did,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that that's all you're focused on. There was none of what you brought into this court was, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
To love our kids. Here's why our kids should be with us, because we're going to raise them in the proper way, because we're going to teach them the proper things. So I tie that in today with we have a political system now in which it's all about slinging mud.
That's right.
they're not sitting down and going, here's what we can do better. It's we're going to demonize, mm-hmm, and we're going to be divisive, mm-hmm, and we're going to teach hate. Mm-hmm. And what that judge was talking about was that both of these parents were teaching their kids hate. So what I'm saying is that we need to fix that system. Mm-hmm. And right now, as a two-party system, we can't be in a situation to where they figured out that you gain points, mm-hmm, by throwing dirt on somebody else faster than you do if you actually do something good. Mm-hmm. So until we change the system or become a third-party system or do something to where they are not gaining points just for strictly throwing mud, mm-hmm, and it doesn't matter even anymore if it's true or if it's not or if it can stick, it does enough damage, and we now have this overall feeling, mm-hmm, of gloom and doom, because exactly, that's all they're putting out there, exactly, is gloom and doom.
Exactly.
So the message that you have and the message that this show brings out and the, mm-hmm, message that the Dare to Be Kind movement, right, and so many other movements, mm-hmm, another group I'm with is Iron Sharpens Iron, Iron Sharpens Iron, mm-hmm, Hall to Success, which is Elijah Hall's company. Mm-hmm. All of these things are, we're now going to focus on love. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on something positive, mm-hmm, not something negative. That's the message that you have. That's why I love you.
Oh, thank you.
And ever since we met, I said, this is one of the truly great people, and we need more like him. So thank you.
Alan, thank you so much, man. I'm going to give the people a little message so we can start to we can start to know where to start with changing things.
We've got 1 minute.
You got it. And I'm going to make it short because it's really short.
Okay.
We all talk about love, but right now, if you were to go out to the streets and everything, we all experience love. We don't actually know what it is. So let me show you. The word love means this: the carrying out of good intention. Listen to me real good, y'all. Yeah. You'll know real quick when somebody ain't feeling love, because you'll see it on their face. You'll see it in their demeanor. You'll see it in the way they come back at you. See, love means the carrying out of good intention. That means mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, the carrying out of good intention. So if you want somebody to feel good and you want them to feel love, give them a hug. Help them out. Show them which right direction to go in life. Take your children and not only hug your children, but teach your children how to hug. Mm-hmm. Teach your children that the kid that they're out there with is somebody to be cared about, not somebody to shoot at a local party or to fight at the local party. Teach them not to give the boys, teach them not to give drugs to the girls. Girls, stop accepting it. Stop accepting the negativity that's said to you and that's done to you. Everybody has got to understand that we all have an iron in this fire. And the only way that we're going to get this fire to warm us all is that when we build the fire for all.
Okay. His name, Mike Magic Boyd. Mike, what's the best way that people can get in touch with you?
A couple ways. They can follow me at Mike Magic Boyd. Now, that magic is spelled M-A-J-I-K. Okay, Mike Magic Boyd, and I'm on Instagram, Twitter, everything out there. Can I get the company's number?
Sure.
They can reach me at Singboy, S-I-N-G-B-O-Y, Singboy.com. Well, actually, Singboy@earthlink.com, and I'll return any letters or emails and things that are sent to me. But those are the basic ways to get with me. The office number to reach the office is 818-767-8812. Sing Boy Records.
All right. And if any of you, again, are driving or something, you can go to answersforthefamily.com. We will have all that information on our site as well. So real quick, as far as for next week, I want to get this in. Please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our guest will be Tanya Zabinski. And it's going to discuss her new book, Peace, Love, Action, Everyday Acts of Goodness from A to Z.
Amazing.
It doesn't get much better than that, folks. So you can see this is what this show is about. So spread the word. Again, advertisers are going to put their money wherever you put your eyeballs and you put your ears.
Right.
If you put it on some of the crap that's on television, that's where they're going to put their money.
Right.
Put it in places where people are doing good, and guess what? You're going to be part of the shift to take us in the right direction. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.